everyone, and welcome to a new episode of our Crew Network podcast series. I am Laura Kaluger, Senior Associate Editor with Commercial Property Executive. My guest today has an impressive real estate career. In the past two decades, she has overseen, designed, and managed more than 5 million square feet of projects for commercial real estate and Fortune 500 clients. She is an exceptional leader, well known for her creativity and enthusiasm. I'm glad to welcome Tiffany English, principal at War Malcolm and 2021 Crew Network president. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, too. Let's start by you telling us a bit about your background. I know you were born and raised in several different countries. How much has that early experience shaped who you are today and your career?
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't think much about it because it was the life I was living. But, you know, my parents instilled in me early the desire to be curious. And so as we moved around to different countries, exploring and understanding other cultures and just having a high respect for the uniqueness of differences in different cultures and people, which I think really, you know, influenced how I approach life in general. So I couldn't be more thankful for my parents for exposing me to as much as they did and always encouraging me to be curious. And my dad is an amazing storyteller, and he loves hearing other people's stories too. So every time we met new people, we experienced a new culture, you know, I always took his lead and, you know, talking to people and understanding who they were and what drove them and what their unique differences were, and learning to celebrate that and learning from others. So I think that, you know, part of my childhood definitely, you know, really has influenced who I am as a person, as an adult. and I'm sure you've heard, I always call myself a third culture kid because it was always hard to identify with one culture. I was always moving. So, you know, I was born in Vietnam. I moved all over Africa, most of my childhood, from Mauritania to Gambia to Swaziland, and then Japan and then India. And my parents always encouraged us to really embrace the cultures we were in, really understand what they were about. So that part has definitely made me, as an adult and in the business that I do, really work hard to understand, you know, what's driving someone and what their story is, and how I can be a part of that story in some way. So I think that's really, you know, been an amazing part of my childhood that, you know, you don't think about when you're a child, but I've really appreciated as an adult.
It sounds like you had a great journey.
I did. Yeah. And hopefully it's still going, right? So it was an amazing experience. And I so much more appreciate it now than I was when I was a kid. I'd often be a little bit upset every time we moved, right? I just started to get, you know, to love a place that we were living, and we'd move again. But as an adult, I appreciate that experience and what was given to me in that way from my parents.
Let's fast forward to 2020. How was last year for you as a woman working in the real estate industry during this difficult time for the global economy?
Well, I think probably the same as everyone else, right? It was a year of a lot of uncertainty. I think as human beings, we don't deal with uncertainty all so well sometimes. I think that my upbringing actually helped because I was used to, you know, if things change, you pivot.
You're flexible.
Being flexible was really part of it. I think Crew Network was a great example of something that stayed stable and consistent throughout 2020. I know myself, along with many other crew members, really kind of grabbed on to Crew Network to be able to stay connected, because I think that was the hardest part, right? So as we all transition to working from home, the hardest part is staying connected, because, you know, we are a species that needs connection. The ability for Crew Network to provide that connection for me was helpful, because even with my team and my staff at my company at Wear Malcolm, as much as we encouraged our team to stay connected. We met on a daily basis via Zoom, really trying to encourage people to talk on a more regular basis. We lost that little bit of spontaneity in you know, the relationship building aspect of it. So for me, it was difficult because I am a extrovert and I get my energy from other people. So it was difficult. I think I learned to reach out a little bit more, even more so than I had in the past. You had to make a much more concerted effort, much more intentional effort to make sure that you're reaching out. Because, you know, I think for some people, even introverts, they started to realize how much they do miss the human connection. I would say that Crew Network is what got me through the last year. And with Christine's leadership last year, it was amazing, right? She stayed positive. She kept everybody going. It was a difficult year, but I do think that we had a chance to reassess, reevaluate our priorities, not only as an organization, but as people. And I think that's been the silver lining that I would say that came out of it.
Do you remember how you moved your office home and the feelings you had at the beginning of the health crisis?
Yeah. And I, what's interesting is I was actually traveling. I was in Las Vegas for work. You know, I think that second week in March, it was a Thursday. It was the day before they announced that they were going to be shutting everything down everywhere. And I remember being at the airport and watching the news, and they had just canceled, you know, Major League Baseball and NBA. And I was thinking, what is happening?
And that's when you knew there was something serious going on.
I knew there was something serious going on. What's interesting, though, is I think probably like a lot of people, I'm a very optimistic person. You know, I got home and I remember my husband saying, like, what do you think is going to happen? And I said, well, this is probably going to last maybe 6 to 8 weeks. You know, that's what in my head, that's what I was, you know, I think, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one. That's what we were all hoping for. Right. Obviously, you know, I don't think we all knew, you know, how serious it was going to get. I was trying to be optimistic at the beginning. And, you know, obviously as the year wore on, it was pretty obvious where we were at. And being in business and, you know, I think there's some aspects of, you know, you have to stay positive. You have to keep things moving forward, even through a pandemic. So I just tried to focus on that, make sure I was making those connections, make sure I was focused on what I could control, and kind of let go of those things I knew I couldn't control.
Talking about moving things forward, please tell us how your daily routine changed after you started working from home last year.
Balancing, you know, work from home and, you know, the family at home, you know, the dogs, the, you know, things, the doorbell ringing with, you know, your Amazon deliveries, whatever it might be, that was a little more challenging. So there were still interruptions. I will say that at where I'm at in my career, it did allow me some more focus time where, you know, in the office, people would walk up to my desk constantly, which at the beginning I actually embraced. I was like, this is great. I have a little more focus time, but I started to miss, you know, that spontaneity, right? Those when your team and you connect at a different level. So I believe that that's why you'll see people go back to the office. People want to be there. I don't think they have to be. And I think that we all know that now. You know, the year was an accelerator for that. But I do believe that people have that desire for that spontaneity. But I think that the adjustment was not easy, you know, and I thought it was interesting. We did a session with Crew Network, and you probably know this better than anyone, Laura, that you become the producer of your own show because every Zoom call is like a production. So, you know, that part was a little bit more, you know, the lighting's not right, the, you know, everything that you have to deal with, your sound issues, your internet. So you become the IT, the producer. So that part was all in one. So, you know, that's that part took a little more adjustment. I also travel a lot normally. I will say at first I embraced that, okay, well, I get to be at home. We had dinner, my family, we had dinner most nights together, which was very nice, you know, so because I wasn't traveling as much. So I did try to make sure that I was grateful for those moments that we had. Some of those habits I think that we've created over the pandemic, I'm trying to take with me as we come out of it.
And what are the main lessons that last year taught you, and how do you plan to apply them going forward?
The main lessons that I learned was, one is really prioritizing connection, meaningful connection, thoughtful connection. So, you know, making an intentional effort to connect, right? So one thing I did love, and we did this at Crew Network, was we had a lot of breakout sessions at our convention and at Summit. It's a lot different than when you have, you know, a happy hour at convention in person,
where you're a face-to-face interaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and you're, the distractions are different when you're in a room with, you know, 1200 people than they are when you have a small breakout room on Zoom and you actually have focused, intentional, you know, connection with a group, which I think, you know, that we will see maybe some of that still continue. Those are the things that we take with us that we learned. So I think that was one thing I learned is that you could really create some intentional connections through this virtual environment. So that was one nice thing that we learned and I learned. And then obviously the prioritizing of my family and what's important. I think that's obviously a big deal. My husband and I really had to learn to balance each other because he's got his job and I got mine, and balancing, you know, both of us working mm-hmm. from home. So that part was, there were some learning lessons in that as well. And really creating that partnership, that 50-50 partnership with, you know, with my husband, I think was key, something that we learned a lot about. And then the other thing that I would say that I learned was that I needed to connect with my team as well on a much regular basis, much more regular basis. Cause I think that was, even though you don't see each other all the time, people still need to know that they're appreciated, and that they, are contributing, and that they're still, you know, there is still a whole team out there. So, and I think that's why Crew Network was the same way. I think we saw a lot more participation in our events. They were up, you know, three times more than in the past. We also saw a lot of previous members rejoin because they realized they needed to keep those connections going.
What about trust? What did you learn about trust in the past 12 months? I think everyone was a bit worried about productivity and productivity levels at the beginning. How difficult was it to lead while only seeing your team members online or just, I don't know, receiving emails from them?
So, yeah, you know, it's interesting because luckily my team, and because of what we do in architecture and design, we tend to work in teams and, you know, people are out at job sites and working. So I've always had the philosophy that all of my team members, I hire them because I trust them. And unless they do something that changes that trust, you know, I had no doubts that my team would be productive. They all work hard, they're dedicated, they're passionate, they love what they do. So I think that I'm a person that trusts from the beginning. So unless that trust is broken in some way, I generally don't change that opinion. I feel like we're adults and we hopefully make good decisions. So for me, you know, I think what it was is I needed them to stay, you know, trusting me. So it was less about me not trusting my team, but I wanted them to continue to trust that I was still there for them. So I think, like I mentioned before, you know, making an intentional effort to make sure I was reaching out to my team on a regular basis was really key to making sure that the trust levels from both sides was there. So to me, the trust level maintained itself through the pandemic. I think I was more concerned about burnout than anything else.
And what are your expectations when it comes to commercial real estate in San Diego this year?
So in San Diego, we've definitely had an influx of industrial, and also our life sciences market has continued to, it never slowed down. And in actuality, our life science market has exponentially grown, and also the multifamily market. So being one of the top five life science hubs in San Diego, you know, in the world, you know, San Diego has maintained that stature for a while. It's only increased in the last year, especially with, we've had a lot more developers and, you know, investment from outside of San Diego come in and, you know, seeing the benefits. I also think that, you know, the lifestyle in San Diego, our good weather and our healthy environment here has really encouraged a lot of companies, especially in the life science sector, to move out this way. Our regions here are vary quite a bit. So, you know, we have South County where we're at the border. So we have a lot of cross border work that occurs and trade that occurs. So, you know, there's a lot of industrial development going on down there right now. And there's a lot also in the North County market and East County, but our life science market has grown not only from the coastal region and the Torrey Pines region, but has now spread out, you know, moving east. So, you know, with the universities that are here that supply that talent, I don't see that that'll change. I think the life science market will increase here in San Diego. It'll continue to grow. And we're starting to see a lot of repositioning of a lot of office product to life science. So I see that as being what's going to change. We're also seeing the life science market move into our downtown area, which will be interesting to see how that will roll out. But that's what's happening right now.
You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation the fact that you and most of your team members are looking forward to going back to the office. How do you expect workplace culture to be different after the pandemic?
Well, because we actually support a lot of essential businesses, our company has been progressively actually going into the office. So we started at 20%, and then we're at 50% capacity right now. It's different by region, but in San Diego, we're at about 50% capacity right now. And our company established a task force early on in the pandemic to evaluate how we were going to go back in a safe manner, making sure that we had all the healthy precautions, check-ins that we needed to have our team back in place. So we have actually had a relatively good turnout with team members being back in the office up to the 50% capacity. I think that we've seen a lot of, you know, team members who really just, the workspace is the workspace for them. They need that space. They need some place to go to that gives them access to Wi-Fi and the ability to do their jobs in a focused manner. So that was helpful. I think as we see, we'll continue to see more staff, and we have seen more staff wanting to come in. And again, I think that goes back to that connection that they're hoping to achieve with their team members. We do find that people want that flexibility. So I think we're going to see more people move to like a 3-2-1 scenario, which is they'll be working in the office, you know, 3, 2, or 1 day a week at least. And then they'll work from home flexibly on those other days. So I think the culture will require a little bit more intention in how we connect and making sure that we're doing that still both hybrid to include be inclusive of those that that may still need to work from home, and also for us in the office. So we were lucky. Our culture was pretty strong before the pandemic, and we've done a really good job in maintaining it. Just like crew, in the same sense, with making sure that we're creating virtual environments and in-person, when possible, connections for our team.
And as you previously said, working from home has come with a lot of challenges for women, particularly with children at home and remote school and having to work from the same living environment. Has put a lot of pressure on women. And we have data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics saying that more women exited the U.S. workforce than men in the past 12 months. How have crew members that are also wives and mothers navigated this difficult period?
It's sad to see those numbers, right? Right. I think as all women, you know, we all, you know, just take that deep sigh when we see those numbers. So the strength of our business network, though, and you know, the expertise of the leaders, especially in crew, are second to none. Our crew members really leveraged, you know, the strong and diverse network throughout the pandemic, you know, in the recovery. One thing that we saw was our members were more engaged with crew than ever before. You know, and I think I mentioned before that, you know, we tripled our virtual programming and events, you know, offering like our chapters more value and resources and ways to connect. And I think that, you know, our crew members really embraced that. I saw how our crew members came to each other's aid and were there to try to help with whether it's a new job search or changing their situation or providing whatever assistance we needed to provide to assist each other. So it's been amazing to see how many women support other women in this industry in this last year. So as much as those statistics are scary and, you know, we hate to see it, I think that, you know, our organization has really supported and had the backs of all of our members to make sure that we made it, tried to make it less difficult as much as we could.
And what would you advise women in real estate who are currently facing difficulties in their careers due to the pandemic?
Every woman in every situation is very different. So, you know, we understand that the disruptions are not only professional, they're personal, you know, disruptions. And so, you know, I encourage women who are facing career challenges during this time to really lean on their networks, because I think that we've all discovered that, right? Your network is really what drives your success in business and, you know, personally. So, you know, leveraging your business network, invest in yourself, joining crew and attending local chapter events, engaging, you know, the crew leader and then crew leadership summits and the convention. I think even at, like I mentioned before, on the virtual side, you'll find those connections, resources, and support that are even more intentional this past year than you know they've ever been, helping advance your career and making sure that you're staying connected to the industry and what's happening will really help, you know, help you drive, you know, thrive in business and take it to the next level. But, you know, in the end, we all have to take it. Like I mentioned, I thought this was only the last 4 to 6 weeks. I think nobody really knows. So you got to take it one day at a time. And, you know, I think the best advice I can give is to give yourself some grace, right? As much as we all want to do it all, I think giving yourself some grace and asking for help when you need it and turning to your network is really going to be what helps you be successful, both personally and professionally.
I couldn't agree more. I imagine you have a lot on your plate as a principal at War Malcolm, and now you also have your role at Crew Network. How do you plan to balance between these two?
I've always been a proponent, and my philosophy has always been, I only do things that I feel passionate about and that fill my cup, right? Like make me feel successful. And my success is driven by helping others be successful. So I try to balance as much as possible. And I'm probably like every other woman, you know, I often have a hard time saying no, which I've been working on more and more, right? Really putting my focus in where I know that I can provide the best part of myself. So I try to balance it in a way that if I don't feel passionate enough about something, one, I find somebody else who I might be connected with that has more passion to that, and I give them an opportunity. So trying to create opportunities for others while focusing on the parts of what I do that I know that I excel at, I can provide more assistance in, and really create success for those around me as well. So that's how I try to balance it. But I don't believe that there is truly balance. I think that we have to be able to flex and pivot, just like this year has taught us, to reprioritize when we need to, and make sure that we're balancing in a way that provides, you know, fulfillment. I think that's the way that I look at it. You know, I don't know if it's not a formula, I guess is the way that I put it. And I've heard people say, you know, it's almost like juggling, and you know, there's never really balance, but it's learning to, like I said before, control what you can and let go of the things you can't.
And speaking about priorities, what are your priorities as Crew Network 2021 president?
So this year, you know, I'm focused on leading Crew Network's strategic priorities. We're really looking at advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion, expanding our global influence and presence. And I'm very passionate about both of those things. So we are going to be continuing to keep our focus on action and training to advance, you know, DEI through board training, chapter leader training, member training, we're trying to ensure the momentum is sustained because, you know, obviously DEI is a robust conversation that's been going on for years, and our organization has been doing it for our entire existence. But we really want to make sure that that every woman in commercial real estate feels a sense of belonging in our organization. We are responsible for that culture. So as a network, we're really trying to create a welcoming environment that leads to diversity. Secondly, we're moving forward and growing and cultivating our global presence outside of the United States, Canada and the UK. We believe our members will benefit from that richness of information exchange, as well as shared experiences from around the world. And then we're currently working on, inroads in Mexico City and Sydney and Paris, and we're starting to see more, members join from those locations. So for me, it's very exciting to see, our global presence and our influence really, spreading out and making those connections all across the world. So
really ambitious.
It's ambitious, but it's exciting, right? So I think when I can sit in on a CRU UK luncheon event, but it's early morning for me, just to hear what's happening in other parts of the world, it's inspiring, and it's encouraging to know that we're all kind of going through a lot of the same things, but then hearing about the new things that are happening. So I think that part of it I love, but as an organization, I think we're going to remain vigilant and moving forward as a united organization. So I think as we grow globally, we're going to continue to really make sure that we're engaging and participating as one unified crew, right? We want to make sure that we're reinforcing our strength and our values, and our connections, and business. We want to be able to do business with each other globally. I think this opens up doors and opportunities for a lot of our members and chapters to make connections even outside of their specific regions, which is exciting.
I expect you to stay active and to engage your members into numerous events. Can you tell us a few details about what you're planning? What's your next event, the next event you're working on right now? Are you optimistic about face-to-face events maybe in the second half of the year?
Oh, that's always a hard question, right? right. Again, one that we don't know the answer to for sure. But, Crew Network, we're offering more networking opportunities and programming and leadership training, professional development to support our members, more so than ever before. Most of the opportunities will be virtual though through the first half of the year. And I think we're very optimistic that we will be able to get back to face-to-face events. But I think like everybody else out there, we're just kind of going with the flow, trying to make sure that we're ready to pivot again and be nimble about how we do that. So, but planning is underway for our 2021 Crew Network Convention in Las Vegas, which is September 28th through the 30th. Safety and well-being is obviously going to be the priority for whether it's, an in-person or virtual format
or a hybrid.
Yeah. Right. So, and I know everybody's talking hybrid. That's the big word. So all I know is that no matter how it is that as we've seen in this past year, we can promise the best in class experience. No matter how it's going to be, I know that Crew Network will make sure it's still going to be an amazing experience.
Tiffany, good luck with all your projects this year. And thank you very much for taking the time to be part of our podcast series.
Thank you, Laura. I really appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to our next audio meeting. Until then, stay safe and visit cpexecutive.com for the latest news on commercial real estate.